Some of you know who I'm referring to. The Glenn Popperite video, aerobic video, will be due out early next month. Remember to use caution when performing along with it. I'm introducing Mr. Kumanyaka tonight because sometimes I think the introductions get a little too winded. And so I would like to just briefly start with this slide of his second birthday. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Mr. Kumanyaka's titles include Dedications and Other Dark Horses, Lost in the Bone Wheel Factory, Copacetic, I Apologize for the Eyes in My Head, Toys in a Field, Dien Cao Dao, February in Sydney, and Magic City. Many of these were limited editions and are no longer available, but much of that work is included in his book of new and selected poems called Neon Vernacular, for which he won the 1994 Pulitzer Prize in Poetry. Several of these books are available. What do you have over there, Chris? Left Bank Books has Neon Vernacular, I think Dien Cao Dao, and Magic City. Magic City is not included in Neon Vernacular, so I recommend that you buy that in conjunction with the other book. I wanted to include these two performers juxtaposed with each other so we would have the pre-verbal and the verbal jazz tonight. Listening to Mr. Kumanyaka read is like listening to jazz that issues from not just his memory, but a collective memory we didn't even know we had. We journey easily with him from his childhood in Bogalusa, Louisiana, to Vietnam, from boyhood to adulthood, mesmerized by the evocative range of characters and places. We had Richard mention a little bit of the election coming up. I've been thinking of what America means with all this annoying political stuff. And one thing that I'm aware of is that our America neither honors its Vietnam veterans nor its African American citizens. And I have found this quote from Pierre Reverdy that I'd like to read. Without doubt, a poet is not by definition one of the most perfect social beings. And if he does not adhere to the order, and if its injustice wounds the poet and throws him outside the degrading rights of society, his work, which is a means of inserting and incorporating himself socially, recaptures for him definitely a place in this society. Mr. Kumanyaka represents the society to which I am happy to belong.
Thank you. Happy birthday. Yes. I think we'll start off with a drum poem. I don't have that many drum poems. So. If I can locate it here. Okay, Ode to a Drum. Gazelle, I killed you for your skin's exquisite touch, for how easy it is to be nailed to a board, weathered raw as white butcher paper. Last night I heard my daughter praying for the meat lined here at my feet. You know it wasn't anger that made me stop my heart till the hammer fell. Weeks ago, I broke you like a woman what shattered me into a song beneath her weight before you slouched into that grassy hush. But now I'm tightening lashes, shaping hard as if around a rib cage stretched like five bow strings. Ghosts cannot slip back inside the body's drum. You have been seasoned by wind, dust, and sunlight. Pressure can make everything whole again. Brass nails tacked to into the ebony wood. Your face has been carved 5 times. I have to drive trouble from the valley, trouble in the hills, trouble on the river too. There's no kola nut, palm wine, fish, salt, or calabash. Kadum, 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 kadum. Now I have beaten a song back into you. Rise and walk away like a panther. Rhythm method. If you were sealed inside a box, within a box deep in a forest, with no bird songs, no crickets rubbing legs together, no leaves letting go of branches, you'd still hear the rhythm of your heart. A riptide, a beach fish oscillates in sand, copulating beneath a full moon. And we can call this the first rhythm, because sex is what nudged the tongue awake and taught the hand to hit drums and embrace reed flutes before they were worked from wood and myth. Up and down, in and out, the piston drives the dream home. Water drips till it scups a cup and into a slab of stone. At first, no bigger than a thimble, it holds joy, but grows to measure the rhythm of loneliness that melts sugar in tea. There's a season for snakes to shed rainbows on the grass, for locusts to chat out of the dunghill. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, is a confirmation. The skin sings to hands. The mantra of spring rain opens the rose and spider lily into shadow. And someone plays the bones till they rise and live again. We know the whole weight depends on small silences we fit ourselves into. High hills at daybreak is the saddest refrain. If you can see blues in the ocean, light and dark can feel worms ease through the subterranean path beneath each footstep. Baby, you got rhythm. Okay, what I'm going to do is just skip around a bit, you know. I'm not talking about dancing. Venus's fire traps. I am 5, wading out into deep sunny grass, unmindful of snakes in yellow jackets, out to the yellow flowers quivering in sluggish heat. Don't mess with me. Cross, I have my Lone Ranger 6-shooter. I can hurt you with questions like silver bullets. The tall flowers in my dreams are big as the first state bank and eat all the people except the ones I love. They have women's names at miles up where babies come from. I'm 5. I'll dance for you if you close your eyes, no peeping through your fingers. I don't supposed to be this close to the tracks. One afternoon I saw what a train did to a cow. Sometimes I stand so close I can see the eyes of men hiding in boxcars. Sometimes they wave and holler for me to get back. I laugh when trains make the dogs howl, their ears hurt. I also know bees can't live without flowers. I wonder why daddy calls mama honey. All the bees in the world live in little white houses except the ones in these flowers, all sticky and sweet inside. I wonder what death tastes like. Sometimes I toss the butterflies back into the air. I wish I knew why the music in my head makes me scared, but I know things I don't supposed to know. I could start walking and never stop. These yellow flowers gone forever. almost to Detroit, almost to the sea. My mama says I'm a mistake that I made her a bad girl. My playhouse is underneath our house and hear people telling each other secrets. The smokehouse. In the hickory scent, among slabs of pork, glistening with salt, I played Indian. In a headdress, the red-beard feathers and brass buttons off my mother's winter coat, smoke wove a thread of fire through meat into December and January. The dead weight of the place hung around me, strung up with sweet grass. The hog had been sectioned, a map scored into scanned, open like love. From snout to tail, the goodness no longer true to each bone. I was a wizard in that hazy world and knew I could cut slivers of meat till my heart grew more human and flawed. Blackberries. They left my hands like a printer's, or thieves before a police blotter, and pulled me into early morning sweetness, so thick the damp ground was concentrated, where they fell among a garland of thorns. Although I could smell old lime-covered history, at 10 I'd still hold up my hands, and berries fell into them. Eating from one and filling a half gallon with the other, I ate the mythology and drip of pies and cobbler, almost needful as forgiveness. My bird dog Spot eyed blue jays and thrashers, the mud frogs and rich blackness hid from daylight. An hour later, beside Silly Limits Road, I banished a gleaming can, and each hand limboed between worlds, repeating $1. The big blue car made me sweat. Winter time crawled out of the windows. When I leaned closer, I saw the boy and girl my age in the wide back seat smirking. It was then I remembered my fingers burning with thorns among berries too ripe to touch. Great. Okay. Watson and the Shark, you know that that painting of Watson and the Shark? We can see the old know-how in the shark's left eye. Maybe she followed schooners a lifetime, waiting for human bait to be tossed overboard, and found herself in Havana Harbor when Watson dove in. How long before such need swims in the genes as instinct? Time is female, she was always here, outside guesswork, flipping this way and that, and the quick spend and gusto of surprise, caught in John Copley's thick romantic oils. Who's the black man at the pivot in the rescue boat? Can that be Christopher Addicks? The ropes dangles in the water, Watson, the man who grew rich, trading slavers, salted fish for Caribbean rum, is reaching for somebody's hand. Merchant ships in the background are touched up with muted gold. A British sailor is poised behind a raised harpoon. 100 years of work into this one bloody moment, the green operated water looks as if it's been beaten for hours with a club. It's a strange painting because I think it was painted probably around 1780s, I think. Euphony. Hands make love to thigh, breast, clavicle, will to each other, to the keyboard, searching the whole forest of compromises till the soft engine kicks in, running on honey. Dissidents worked into harmony, even-handed, as octatums plead to the keys. Like a woman and man who have lived a long time together, they know how to keep the song alive, wordless efforts into the cold night, keepers of the fire, the right hand lifts like the ghost of a sparrow, and the left uses every motionless muscle. Notes divide, banishing each other, love and hate tattooed on the fingers. Mumble pad. We stood in a wide-legged deer, three country boys triangulating a big circle in April, its boundary line scored in damp clay. With the snap of a wrist, bright-handled knives spawned and pierced each other's plot. Tied to earth, we couldn't run for the snowball wagon anymore. The knives mark our places as we strolled over to the little old man humped over the metal scoop, singing across the block of ice. His row of ballers huddled and slots like a rainbow beneath a canopy, and he'd grab the right flavor without looking, as if his body didn't need a mind to guide it. After the sweet air that pulled bees out of blooms wore off, we'd return to our knives to parcel out springtime, like homesteaders claiming sky, water, flyways, whatever shined beneath earth. We stood between Saturday's Tarzan and Amazing Grace. Dragonflies stitched day together like a blue-green blur of wings, like Pascal tossing a corn into the air. Other bodies pose hard questions. Girls on the next corner skip rope till the clay hardened into a reddish stone. In short dresses at the cruelest hour, they gave us the answer, jumping so high a flash of colors left us breathless in the silent council of our pocket knives. If a boy could no longer stand like a one-legged crane in the land he owned, he lost it all. The winner who stood in his circle at sunset always looked lonely. If no one could see us, what would we own? Would the brain divide into hemispheres in the garden? The even star filled the sky as we begged the girls a kiss, closing our false eyes to guess the color of underwear. Thank you. More girl than boy. You always be my friend. Is that clear, Robert Lee? We go beyond the wind of each other's words, hand on the shoulder, go beyond the color of hair, playing down the man on the field. We embrace each other before I discovered girls. You taught me a heavy love for jazz, how words can hurt more than a quick jab. Something there's no word for saved us from the streets. Night's pale horse rode you past common sense, as you made it home from Chicago. So many dreams dead. All the man's sweet gigs mean absolutely nothing. Welcome back to Earth, Robert. You always could make that piano talk like somebody's mama. Not quite the dozens. Blasphemy. You name those lies clustered in each rib cage, attached to some circle of truth. You glimpse soldiers of fortune, sweeping their footprints, the branches of mistletoe. You showed them the corpse garden, couldn't keep blooming, not forever. Black bags of song split open at sunrise. You copied down the earthworm's calligraphy, broke illusion's hymen, uncovered the scars smiling under Dutch silk, translated the heinous soliloquy. You carbon dated the skull paperweight on the commissioner's desk and filled in with charcoal these mental lapses. When all the gone ones resurface as dancing rags in the wind,
You named the beast upon the gallows tree, its sagged belly dragging the ground. You praised the medieval rock, taking hold of dirt floors, crawling up the cathedral's high rafters. Madness, you brought it home. Letter to Bob Kaufman. Bob Kaufman, associated with the Beat Movement, the San Francisco Renaissance period, grew up in New Orleans. The gold dust of your voice and 25 cents can buy a cup of coffee. We sell pain for next to nothing. Nope, you don't know me, but your flesh and blood language lingers in my head like treason. Raw honey. I read Golden Sardine and dance the calendar to come to myself. Nilo's booze high steppers with dangerous eyes. Believe this, brother, we're dice on a hard time hustle. No more of the handfuls of meat. Come on, play the dozens. You root worker and neo hoodooist. You earth lover and whole card peeper. We know roads dusty with old griefs and hot kissed joys, bloodhounds. Awake ambush, something, perhaps the scent of love draws them closer. Charmed. I jump between the cat and the bird. The cat cries as though I struck her with a stick. If animals possess souls, her cries close to sin. She moves towards the bird. Women have moved gently towards me, and me towards them this way. Some dance concealed under the skin. The bird sits perfectly lost like a flower, so red, lost behind the five colors of the cat's eyes brighter than truest memory of water. The cat has pierced them deeper than bad luck, moving like a hand buried in the dark. Years ago, I stepped between a woman and man, Desire's throat, both turned against me. I try to shoo the bird away. I pick him up, and a small heart flutters through me. The bird has no song left. I close my eyes. I place him on the ground. I back away. Camouflage in December. We tied branches to our helmets. We painted our faces and rifles with mud from a riverbank. Blades of grass hung from the pockets of our tiger suits. We wove ourselves into the terrain, content to be a hummingbird's target. We hugged bamboo, leaned against the breeze off the river, slow dragon with ghosts from Saigon to Bangkok, with women left in doorways, reaching in from America. We aimed at dark-hearted songbirds. In our way station of shadows, rock apes tried to blow our cover, throwing stones at the sunset. Chameleons crawl over spines, changing from day to night, green to gold, gold to black. But we waited till the moon touched metal, till something almost broke inside us. These seas struggled with the hillside like black silk wrestling iron through grass. We weren't there. The river ran through our bones. Small animals took refuge against our bodies. We held our breath, ready to spring the L-shaped ambush as a world revolved under each man's eyelid. You and I are disappearing. The cry of brain down from the hills belongs to a girl still burning inside my head. At daybreak, she burns like a piece of paper. She burns like foxfire in a thigh-shaped valley. A skirt of flames dances around her at dusk. We stand with our hands hanging at her sides, while she burns like a sack of dry ice. She burns like oil on water. She burns like a cattail torch dipped in gasoline. She glows like the fat tip of a banker cigar, silent as quicksilver, a tiger under a rainbow at nightfall. She burns like a shot glass of vodka. She burns like a field of poppies at the edge of a rainforest. She rises like dragon smoke to my nostrils. She burns like a burning bush driven by a god-awful wind. We never know. He danced with tall grass for a moment, like he was swaying with a woman. Of a gun barrel's glowed white hot. When I got to him, a blue halo of flies had already claimed him. I pulled the crumpled photograph from his fingers. There's no other way to say this. I fell in love. The morning cleared again, except for a distant mortar and somewhere choppers taken off. I slid the wallet into his pocket and turned him over so he wouldn't be kissing the ground. Let me see if I can find some more recent poems. What the idea of going back and forth. Another new poem I haven't read before. Dolphy's Aviary. We watch Baghdad's ancient sky at night, white and black limbs entwined as televised phosphorus washed over the bedroom, the sound of war turned down to a sigh. It was one of those nights we couldn't let each other go. A Midwestern storm pressing the panes till they trembled in their sashes. Eric Dolphy scored the firmament split into bedrock, and the wind spoke in tongues we tried to answer. At first, we were the song inside the music, and then, like an orgasm of mind and body, we cried out, "Are those birds?" Midnight flicked in at least four worlds, and the street lights yellowed snow as if an army of ghosts urinated in sand dunes. Columns of fleeing Republican guards were cremated in the bony cages of their tanks. I heard Dolphy sing, "Birds have notes between other notes, maybe between F and F sharp. Soon, I would see them among oak rafters and beams, up in a makeshift heaven, away from the burning coal, up there singing cobwebs and soot, like false angels up there in that war of electrical wires and bat skeletons caked in excrement, with us in winding sheets of desire, their loud, unbearable voices dawdled us down to earth." The wall. Love notes, a bra, lipstick, kisses on postcards, locks of hair, a suburban bouquet, baseball gloves broken in with sweat and red dirt, a fifth of beef eaters, everything's quartered away before it's tagged and crated. A finger crawls like a fat slug down the list, keeping record for the unborn. Faces blur in the poor eyesight of veterans. All the gunshots in America coalesce over this museum where a woman mails letters to her son as time flowers, denudes, and does its hoish work. Raindrops play a faint drum roll, and names fade till the sun draws them out of granite again. I said that would be the last poem I would write about Vietnam. The Monkey House. He pressed his face against the bars, watching the biggest male macaque mount a statuesque female. She gazed at the cage floor, and he looked up past rafters of leaves and fiberglass, squinting towards a sundial. They were rocking back and forth, grinding a chorus of muffled laughs. A father covered his daughter's eyes with both hands, but let his two sons look. An old woman kept tugging her husband's sleeve as he stood munching Cracker Jacks, searching for the toy pistol or spinning top at the bottom of the box. He watched, stroking his beard, 100 yards away from the crowd, eating noontime sandwiches and sipping thermoses of coffee. Joggers worked the air with arms and legs, and it seemed as if the monkeys were making love to the rhythms of the city. Also, he still can't say why, but he was running the term ethnic cleansing over and over in his mind, like a stone polishing itself in a box of sand. There were tears in his eyes, and he felt like he'd returned to the scene of a crime. When their bodies began to tremble down to a split second, the other monkeys began to slap the male and beat his head like a drum. Then, lost among the absurd clocks, he turned to watch leaves as they began to fall. I spent a great deal of time in Australia, and I think I read this poem a couple of times before in the city. It's called Blue Light Land Sutra for the performance poets at Harold Park Hotel. Harold Park is a pub in Sydney. It's the first place I read in Sydney. Blue Light Land Sutra. The need gotta be so deep, words can't answer simple questions all night long, notes stumble off the tongue and color the air indigo. So deep fragments of gut and flesh cling to the song. You gotta get into it so deep, salt crystallizes on eyelashes. The need gotta be so deep you can vomit up ghosts and not feel broken. Till you're no more than a half ounce of gold and painful brightness. You gotta get into it, blow that saxophone. So deep all the sex and dope in this world can erase your need to howl against the sky. The need gotta be so deep you just can't wiggle your hips and rise up out of it. Chaos in the cosmos, more than man in the pepper pot. You gotta get hooked into every hungry groove. So deep the bomb locked and rust opens like a fist into it so deep rhythm is pre-memory. The need gotta be basic animal need to see and know the terror we are made of, honey. Cause if you wanna dance this boogie, be ready to let the devil use your head for a drum.
All right.
What's that? Part of this poem is thanks. Thanks for the tree between me and the sniper's bullet. I don't know what made the grass wait seconds before the Viet Cong raised his Saunders rifle. Some voice always followed, telling me which foot to put down first. Thanks for deflecting the ricochet against that anarchy of dust. I was back in San Francisco, wrapped up in a woman's wild colors, causing some dark bird's love call to be shattered by daylight when my hands reached up and pulled a branch away from my face. Thanks for the vague white flower that pointed to the gleaming metal, reflecting how it is to be broken like mist over the grass as we played some deadly game for blind gods. What made me spot the monarch on a single thread tied to a farmer's gate, holding the day together like an unfingered guitar string is beyond me. May the hills grew weary, gleamed a little in the heat. Again, thanks for the dud hand grenade tossed at my feet outside July. I'm still falling through its silence. I don't know why the intrepid sun touched the bayonet, but I know that something stood among those lost trees and moved only when I moved. Yellow Jackets. When the plow blade struck an old stump hot end of the soil like a biggest rotten tooth. They swarmed up, and Mr. Jackson left the plow wedged like a whaler's harpoon. The horse was midnight against dusk, tied to somebody's pocket watch. He shivered, but not the way women shook their heads before mirrors at the five and dime, a deeper connection to the low field's even star. He stood there and traced chains, lettered and frothed, just stopped by a great goofy calmness. He went at once, and then the whole beautiful blue-black sky fell on his back. My father's love letters. On Fridays, he'd open a can of Jack's after coming home from the mill, asked me to write a letter to my mother, who sent postcards of desert flowers taller than men. He would beg, promising never to beat her again. Somehow, I was happy she'd gone, and sometimes wanted to slip in a reminder how Mary Lou Williams, polka dots and moonbeams never made the swelling go down. His carpenter's apron always budged with old nails, a claw hammer looped at his side, extension cords coiled around his feet. Words rolled from under the pressure of my ballpoint, love, baby, honey, please. We sat in the quiet brutality of voltage meters and pipe threaders, lost between sentences, the gleam of a 5-pound wedge of the concrete floor pull a sunset through the doorway of his tool shed. I wondered if she laughed and held them over a gas burner. My father could only sign his name, but he'd look at blueprints and say how many bricks formed each wall. This man, who stole roses and hyacinths for his yard, would stand there with eyes closed and fists balled, laboring over a simple word almost redeemed by what he tried to say. Slam dunk and hook. Fast breaks, layups, with Mercury's insignia on our sneakers, we outmaneuver the footwork of bad angels. Nothing but a hot swish of strings like silk 10 feet out. And the roundhouse labyrinth of our bodies created, we could almost last forever, poised in midair like storybook sea monsters, a high note hung there alone, sucking off the rim. We are corkscrew up, dunk balls exploded the skull cap of hope and good intention, lanky, all hands and feet sprung rhythm. We were metaphysical when girls cheered on the sidelines. Tangled up in a falling, muscles were a bright motor, double flashing to the metal hoop nailed to Ava Oak. When Sonny Boy's mama died, he played nonstop all day so hard of a backboard splintered, glistened with sweat, rolled the ball off of a fingertips. Trouble was there, slapping a blackjack against an open palm, dribble, drive to the inside, and glide like a sparrowhawk. Layups, fast breaks, we had moves we didn't know we had. Our bodies spawned on swivels of bone and fade through, a lyric slipping out of joy, and we knew we were beautiful and dangerous. Just a couple last poems. Anodyne. I love how it swells into a temple where it is held prisoner, as if born to be tricked, where the god of blame resides. I love this body. I love the slow inclines, slopes and peaks, the secret paths that make me selfish. I love my crooked feet shaped by vanity and work shoes made to outlast belief and scan. I love the hardness, coupling milk it can't fashion. I love the lips, mouth, salt, and honeycomb on the tongue, the hair holding off rain and snow, the white moons on my fingernails. I love the penis and how everything begs blood into a song and prayer inside an egg. I love how a ghost hums through my bones like Pan's midnight flute, fluid as the sex of salmon flies, shaping the land's internal laws by the roar of a troubled river. I love this body made to weather the storm in the brain, raised out of the deep smell of fish and water hyacinth, out of bird song and the first regret. I love my big hands, I love it clear down to the soft motor of each breath, livers, five kinds of desire, and the kidneys' lust for sugar. This skin, this sack of dung and joy, this spleen floating like a compass needle inside nighttime, always divining West Africa in the bony horizon. I love the birthmark posed like a fighting cock on my left shoulder blade. I love this body, this solo in ragtime jubilee behind the left nipper, because I know I was born to wear out at least 100 angels. One last poem. Facing it. My black face fades, hiding inside the black granite. I said I wouldn't, damn it, no tears. I'm stoned, I'm flesh. My clouded reflection eyes me like a bird of prey. The profile of night slanted against morning. I turn this way, the stone lets me go. I turn that way, I'm inside the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, again depending on the light to make a difference. I go down to 58,022 names, half expecting to find my own. Letters like smoke. I touch the name Andrew Johnson. I see the booby trap's white flash, name shimmer on the woman's blouse, but when she walks away, the name stay on the wall. Breaststrokes flash, a red bird's wings cutting across my stare. The sky, a plane in the sky. A white vet's image floats closer to me, then his eyes look through mine. From a window, he's lost his right arm inside the stone. In the black mirror, a woman's trying to erase names. No, she's brushing a boy's hair.